We're going to show you that your entire city is fake. In this video, you're going to find out why these skyscrapers are completely fake, why these synagogues are pumping crude oil beneath your feet, and how these government spies are using these buildings to secretly spy on you. Beginning with our first building, all the way down here in Manhattan. Known as the AT&T Long Lines building, this 550-foot windowless tower has always made to withstand nuclear impact. So what are they trying to hide here? The Snowden leaks reveal that the building is codenamed Titan Point, or more simply, it's an NSA surveillance hub, where they'll monitor all of your photos, messages, and phone activity. This building is gathering 60 million foreign-to-foreign emails every day, 1.8 billion per month, all for the US government National Security Agency. Photographer Stanley Greenberg is one of the only people who ever saw inside the building, where they were met by floor after floor of humming machines, towering racks of mysterious tech and empty corridors. No questions are allowed, and no one knows exactly what's actually happening. But what we do know is the surveillance never stopped. Now onto our next building here in Chicago. Like the New York one, the Chicago Tower has very few windows. 18 of its 28 floors are sealed from the outside world. Inside, six massive V16 Caterpillar generators sit ready, with 200,000 gallons of diesel fuel stockpiled nearby, enough to run independently for over a month. Below, the building is anchored directly to bedrock, ensuring telephone communications continue even if nuclear weapons destroyed nearby cities. And this is just one of an entire network of spy towers. According to leaked documents and investigations by The Intercept, at least eight NSA surveillance hubs are all across America, like Atlanta with a century-old limestone building secretly copying internet traffic straight from AT&T's networks. In Dallas, there's a faceless cube with blacked-out windows, quietly monitoring the entire South. In LA, the Madison complex sits next to One Wilshire, the main fiber-optic link to Asia, where billions of messages will pass through weekly. And in San Francisco, former AT&T technician Mark Klein blew the whistle on Room 641A, a hidden chamber where NSA operatives allegedly broke the law daily. Some of these buildings don't even have names, just code words, like Pinecone, buried somewhere in New Jersey. And its job is to process and analyze all the spy tower's data. As to who works in these places, you'd never know. They belong to Tailored Access Operations, the NSA's elite hackers, capable of breaking into virtually any system or network. They've tracked terrorists, cracked foreign presidents' emails, and tapped institutions like the IMF and World Bank. Employees even have to coordinate with the FBI before arrival to work. And all of this might just be happening down the street from you. But not every building hiding something is run by the government. Some are operated by private industry. Companies with no interest in spying on you, but every interest in extracting something from right beneath your toes. So let's move on to our third building, all the way here in Los Angeles. This building is in Pico Robertson. It's a quiet, clean, religious neighborhood. Everything seems beige and there's nothing really flashy. But as you walk down the streets, you'll pass a tall, windowless building with manicured hedges. For everyone here, it's known as the local friendly synagogue. But little do people ever realize what's secretly going on inside the synagogue. Because if you go inside the synagogue, you'll see a completely hidden, fully functioning oil facility built in 1966 by Occidental Petroleum. This place is literally pumping crude oil from under Beverly Hills without anyone ever realizing. Behind these fake walls of the synagogue is a full-scale operation, with 40 active wells and a derrick on rails that slides across the site inside a hollow structure. This is a full industrial system dressed up to look like a place of worship. And this isn't an accident. This was all built like this from the start, not to stand out, but to blend in with the neighborhood. The place uses the synagogue facade as a way to trick people into never questioning what's going on behind the doors of the building, copying local synagogues on purpose, as Occidental knew exactly where they were drilling and who lived there, and what would look respectable. And the city signed off on it. The mayor actually cut the ribbon, praising the building's contributions to civic beauty. And for the people living here, they have almost no idea about what's going on behind its closed doors. Although occasionally neighbors will complain about strange smells, sulfur, chemicals, something off in the air. The company denies all of this, of course, and tries to completely deflect any attention towards it. But if an oil rig can pass as a synagogue, you can hide one anywhere. Which brings us on to the next hidden oil drill site, this time in a school of all places. It looked like something out of a feel-good news segment. This towering industrial structure, something something straight out of Victorian England was now wrapped in cheerful murals. Sunflowers, butterflies, handprints, a sign at the base read Tower of Hope. All of this was painted by 3,000 hospitalized children, most of whom were terminally ill. And it was this structure that was a symbol of resilience, of optimism, and of turning something ugly into something beautiful. But none of this was actually real. This entire thing you're looking at was a fake operation, hiding a possibly deadly operation. For decades, a 155-foot tall oil derrick loomed over Beverly Hills High School, pumping hundreds of barrels of crude oil per day from directly beneath the school grounds. Students would play sports in the shadow, they ate lunch near it, and took their prom photos while standing just yards away from a live wellhead. The oil operator Venoco made sure the derrick was disguised as it pumped out an array of carcinogenic and volatile organic compounds. Then kids would inhale all of this stuff on a daily basis. When people began questioning why this building was even there, rumors circulated the school district profited from the site, and up to 85% of teacher compensation was funded by oil revenue from the site, allegedly. With around 400 barrels daily being pumped, everything seemed fine on the surface until the consequences became very clear. Between 1975 and 1997, more than 250 former students were diagnosed with cancer. According to a lawsuit filed by environmental activist Aaron Brockovich in 2003, rates of Hodgkin's lymphoma were 20 times the national average. Thyroid cancer rates were 17 times higher. So a public high school in one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the world had cancer rates higher than some of the most toxic sites in the world. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of 23 people, many of them graduates in their 20s and 30s who were now undergoing chemotherapy or living with permanent damage. Initially, the city tried to dismiss these concerns, saying air quality readings were within regulatory limits. But soon, the truth started unraveling, and people realized how disturbing this entire situation was. This entire mural in Beverly Hills, known as the Tower of Hope, painted by sick children with cancer, was just a corporate shield to avoid legal consequences of giving people cancer. Eventually, the company had to declare bankruptcy in 2017 and the well stopped pumping. But the synagogue and school in LA aren't anomalies. It turns out Los Angeles has actually been doing this for decades. It's all part of what all companies called aesthetic mitigation, or just hiding hazardous urban operations in plain sight. That's why today nearly 3 million Los Angeles residents live on 28 oil fields containing 3,000 active wells, many of them just like this, hidden in fake buildings nestled behind apartment complexes or tucked behind rows of trees in public spaces. And you'd never have any idea when walking around LA. But it's not just LA. In many cities, a few buildings look like typical homes or offices, but are actually in fact totally fake for different purposes than pumping oil. Some of them can be designed to blend into their surroundings, ensuring that most who pass by remain blissfully unaware of these buildings' true purpose. Like we can see with our fifth building. But before we continue, I want to tell you about Odoo, because Odoo is an all-in-one management software that provides entrepreneurs with a range of applications to simplify the day-to-day management of their business, including invoicing, accounting, project management, inventory, website creation, and so much more. The reason I love Odoo is that it grows with you, allowing you to add additional apps as your business develops and your needs change. But if you want to check it out, the first app is free for life, and that includes unlimited hosting and support. And you can have access to all applications starting from just €19.90 per month. So let's take a look at some of the applications, like one of my favorites, the Signature application, that allows you to send, sign, and approve documents online. And you can do all of this in just a few clicks, which makes it super simple to customize each document. You just select and drag the fields of your choice anywhere within the document. You can specify who should complete each field, and even send automatic reminders to recipients to avoid delays. Here you can also create your own signature, and people can access the documents and review them on any device, signing them electronically in just a few clicks, where you'll receive a notification about the status of your documents. And all these actions are securely recorded, as Odoo Signature complies with electronic signature standards in over 100 countries, including Europe and the US, where you'll be able to create and save your own document templates for repetitive tasks, get a clear overview of your documents, and quickly search for your documents using available filters. And all of this is saved in a central space with unlimited storage. And Odoo allows you to send and sign your documents for free with its first app offer. And you can have access to this and so many more applications starting from just €19.90 per month. So make sure to click the link in the description below. Here we are in Brooklyn Heights, outside this old 19th century home. If you peek through the cracks in the door, you'll see the lights are always on. But there's something really uncanny about this place. Nobody ever seems to walk in or out, and there's no sign of life here at all. But the lights are always present. And that's because this house is actually an emergency subway exit dressed up like any other house on the street. It was purchased in 1908 by the Interborough Rapid Transit Company and gutted entirely. The windows are blacked out steel. Inside, you'll find a load of fans and a drop shaft that leads directly to the 4-5 line beneath the East River. After 9/11, this building was outfitted with glass-proof doors, motion detectors, and reinforced locks. And today, it's still owned and maintained by the MTA, but it's technically listed as a residential property and valued at $2.8 million, likely the most expensive fake house in the entire city. And it's not the only one. If we go across the world to central Paris, you'll then find 145 Rue Lafayette, which is also a cover-up for a metro ventilation shaft. Aerial photos reveal the building is just a wall with scaffolding behind it, and a large open shaft that drops down to the tunnels below. And all the way over in London's flashy Bayswater neighborhoods, 23 and 24 Leinster Gardens are also 100% fake, despite looking like any other chic Victorian terrace, concealing an open-air ventilation gap for the Metropolitan Underground train line. All because in the 1860s, the steam engines running on the city's early underground system needed regular openings to vent smoke, but nobody wealthy would want to live near one. So the rail company built these dummy houses, complete with stonework, balconies, and decorative trim, all to maintain an illusion, meaning there's literally nothing behind these houses, just empty space and train tracks. And yet, because these addresses technically exist and seem like real houses, they're magnets for pranks. Con artists have literally sold fake tickets to high society balls at these houses, where people arrived in tuxedos and gowns only to find a blank wall. Even recently, food delivery services like Uber Eats have actually blacklisted this address after decades of fake orders. Although sometimes these fake buildings are actually hiding something far more sinister, as we will see in our final building. The year was 1978, when architect William Le Mesurier was sitting on a secret that would have actually killed thousands. William was the chief structural engineer of Manhattan's 59-story Citicorp Center, but one day he discovered something about this building that would keep him up at night. Under high winds, he eventually calculated that his building had a 100% probability of collapse, and nobody else even knew about it. Because it turned out that the Citicorp building on 601 Lexington Avenue was literally built on stilts. You see, when Citicorp bought the land in 1969, it came with a condition. The church that occupied one corner of the property had to remain in place. The church agreed to sell on two requirements. Citicorp would build them a new place of worship, and the skyscraper's support structure would not pass through the church property. This is why the entire 59-story tower would balance on 4 9-story stilts, with a fifth column in the center for utilities. To control the swing and high winds, William installed a mass damper on the 59th floor, which essentially floats this building on a film of oil, controlled by a computer to counteract the building's movements. It was the first of its kind in a skyscraper, and critics declared this a masterpiece of engineering. The American Institute of Steel Construction gave this an architectural award of excellence, but something about this place was severely wrong. And on June 1978, William received a call from an engineering student at Princeton University. The student calculated how undercoating winds, which is the winds that strike on the corners of a building, would increase the forces on the building's joints by 40%. And this wasn't the worst part. During construction, to save time and money, the building contractor had replaced William's specified welded joints with weaker bolted ones, and he approved these changes. But when he calculated that a hurricane capable of collapsing the entire building happened about once every 16 years, he realized that the hurricane season was only weeks away, and suddenly William was faced with an impossible choice. He could either go public and show to the world that this building may collapse in a few weeks, which would cause panic, lawsuits, and quite possibly the end of his entire career. Whereas if he stayed silent, this would mean thousands of deaths if the building collapsed. After a sleepless night contemplating passing his own life, he eventually chose to act, contacting Citicorp directly. And to his shock, they didn't fire him or even bury the problem. Instead, they immediately moved to fix this. And what followed was one of the most secretive structural repairs in history, conducted literally under the cover of darkness. Citicorp's chairman, Walter Wriston, authorized immediate work without even knowing the cost. Workers then arrived each night after the building's occupants had gone home. They were soldered 2-inch thick steel plates over each of the 200 vulnerable bolted joints and then replaced the walls before morning. They worked 7 days a week, and the repairs were hidden from the public with not a single tenant being informed. Instead, occupants were just told this was routine maintenance. In fact, the entire operation was codenamed Project Serene, an acronym for Special Engineering Review of Events Nobody Envisioned. And 6 weeks into these repairs, and Hurricane Ella formed in the Atlantic and headed straight for New York City. But the problem was the building was only half fixed, so city officials quietly prepared evacuation plans for a 10-block radius around the tower, as they estimated that if the building did fall, it could take out several adjacent blocks in a domino effect. And you can only imagine William's anxiety as he watched the news and the hurricane crept closer and closer. And as the hurricane approached the coast, the sustained winds reached hundreds of miles per hour, more than enough to topple the half-repaired tower. But then with a gasp of relief, the hurricane turned east and headed out to the sea, saving the entire building from imminent collapse. And visitors through the lobby never had any idea that they were standing in a building that nearly pancaked into the streets below. And after seeing all of these buildings, it makes you think, next time you walk down a city street, if a building ever just seems uncanny or off, there really could be something weird happening behind the doors. And maybe in your city, nothing is quite what it appears to be.